Hello, it's Monday, the 28th of October in the year of our Lord, 2024. I've got a friend of mine coming on the show today. He's huge. He's a YouTuber. He's got fans and everything. Mr. Richard Vobes.
Do you know, it's interesting you should say that, but somebody only the other day said that they thought I was losing weight.
Oh.
You said I was huge, and
Yeah. Oh. Well, you probably are losing weight because you're getting very healthy, aren't you? You're on a health kit.
well, yes,
Well, you
and
were.
no, I still am,
Oh, good.
and the more and more people should, of course. We're all eating the wrong foods, if you go to the supermarket, that is. I don't. I haven't been in the supermarket. Hello, by the way, and thank you very much for letting me on your show. I haven't been to a supermarket for a year now. I haven't stepped inside. I have a supermarket outside the back of my house, and I heard recently they have cameras on every shelf. I haven't been in there to witness because I don't want my face being recognised. Not that I have ever had fear of that because I'm on YouTube every day. But I don't want the supermarket taking pictures of me and recording everything I do and every twitch, every sneeze, every pick of the nose and scratch of the bum. I mean, it's just outrageous.
It is outrageous. It is outrageous. But then, that you're in these times when you go, I mean, there was no, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as organic. Everything was organic. But now the price of going to your local farm shop, you're looking at a little. Some butter now, it's like £4.50 just for a little bit of butter. And
I don't know what farm shop you go to. It
do you
might
go
be.
to, yeah, well, we've only got one just up the road at Churston. It was £4.50 for their organic, salted, unpasteurized butter.
Where does it come from?
The farm, their farm.
Oh, right. Well, that sounds all right.
It's
And
just
one.
expensive.
No, you're quite right. I mean, it is expensive, and one shouldn't knock that. I'm demonetized on YouTube, so I've got no income coming in. But the
Welcome to
thing.
my world.
There you go. But we, Julia and I, my lovely partner, we only eat once a day, just a handful of rice and maybe the odd lettuce, and that's
Bit of
it.
beans and a lump of coal.
And the coal is, you get a lump of coal, blimey, you're lucky, aren't you? No, we only eat one main meal a day. We might have
Yeah,
a
same.
handful of nuts or a nugget of cheese. But I'd rather do that and eat sensible, healthy food than synthetic rubbish that you get in the
Absolutely.
supermarket. And I know people, laugh at me or they say, oh, you're a bit of a snob or they say all that. But then it actually works out either the same or cheaper to do that. Because if you're putting into your body good quality food, you're not actually hungry. You're not going to the cupboard and having some sweets
Exactly. It
or
was stuff
breads.
like laced with MSG and
Yeah, and
what
that,
have you. But I mean, I do have to go to my local Sainsbury's. And what I have noticed up there is that these self-checkouts, they're not working.
No, well, that's a
It's
good thing.
absolutely nobody wants them. Even the staff don't want them up there. It's, they want a bit of human contact when they
Yes.
go out, and these things are constantly breaking down, and you can just see the frustration on people.
Yeah.
But it's all moved to this delivery. I mean, the majority of staff now, I think, in my local Sainsbury's are all there just packing food for, Uber and Deliveroo and Just Eat.
And
That's
what's
the.
happened to us that we're so lazy we can't be asked to
Well, that's
go
what
out?
COVID did, didn't it? It was
Well,
COVID. That's COVID. That was the, what a social experiment that was.
yes. Well, but COVID isn't now, locking us in our houses.
It's just the result of it, isn't it? That
Well,
people have now just got used to that they can't be bothered. They're used to a delivery. It's easier to get a delivery, which is very sad
That's what I mean. What's happened to us
to
that we've become
society.
so bloody. But why aren't we pushing back and standing up for it? I mean, in the end, you can't help thinking these people deserve it in the end. They
Yeah, well, I
deserve what they
know.
get because they can't be bothered to go and exercise and walk to the shop or go to a farm shop or eat proper food. And you just think, well, when you end up in A&E and you're feeling a bit queasy, where's this?
Well, they're all probably five jabbed up anyway,
Yes. Well, and that's the problem, isn't it? You know,
It is a
they're not
problem.
thinking properly. And
No. So,
I
go
know
on.
I'm being I don't mean to be sounding holier than thou, but golly, if people do not grasp the nettle and realize what's going on, then there is no hope. And it just makes the whole business of trying to tell people what's happening much harder if they just sort of look at you and laugh at you and go, no, so I'm going down to the supermarket, I'll be all right with this synthetic food. And I suppose in the end, you've just got to let them go, haven't you?
Well, honestly, I have tried and I've tried, and it just, they're so indoctrinated. They've been sitting in front of the BBC, a lot of these people, and they believe everything the BBC says.
Yes, and it
That's
you just
that is a major, major part of the problem. For a
yes.
certain generation, like my dad's very awake. He's like really woken up to it, but like my mother's generation, it's that, whatever the BBC says goes.
And that's it's very hard because that generation also are the ones that understood the wholesome nature of food, eating around the table, cooking it from scratch. And yet they've sort of, and then on the one hand, they've got that. And then there's the BBC telling them, no, you can go to the supermarket and have, all right food with nutrient free, no wholesome nature to it, no vitamins, no minerals in it, and plenty of synthetic food coloring and all this sort of nonsense. And so it is a strange dichotomy that they understand they ought to be cooking from scratch, but they've just fallen into the trap of taking the line of least resistance, listening to these so-called experts and following the advice without any sense or wisdom of their own and using critical thinking. But okay, it just becomes a bit tiring. It becomes tiring trying to educate these people. So the only thing I think you can do is lead by example. And
Yes.
if people say, oh, but Richard, how can you afford it? You say, well, I'm not getting any money coming in myself, but I'm still doing it because I want to live a long, healthy life.
Exactly. You're right. You are right. I mean, yeah, I do go up supermarket for certain bits and bobs, but I try and do, well, I do everything organic regardless, and I go to the local farm for, say, the meat and what have you, and veg. So, but
Well,
yeah,
that's the important part. So,
take a trip up to the Sainsbury's for everything else. Oh, yeah. So what else is going on? What have you been up to? To be honest, I haven't seen much. I haven't seen many of your shows recently, and I do apologize. I've kind of just been so engrossed with what's going, researching the whole Diddy stuff and who we're looking for. I know it's a distraction, but there are children involved, and going back for me, going back to the Jimmy Savile times when I was doing a lot with Bill Maloney and John Wedger, and what we were talking about back then, and all of these things are connected. All of these people are connected one way or another.
I was just slightly confused there because when you said the Diddy, I thought you meant Ken Dodd and the Diddy Men,
Oh no,
but
I'm sorry about that. No, I'm afraid it's Puff Daddy and his trafficking and his RICO charges that are going down, and we are seeing the collapse of Hollywood right now. We're seeing
marvelous.
they're all going down, and there's many British people who should be very, very twitchy right now,
Oh, well, that's
because
good.
what was going on at these parties, both here in the UK and over in the States, is horrific. So that's where I've been. Plus, I've been doing a lot with the magic chair, working with the old magic chair, which is just incredible, and the results was unbelievable. Have you been on the magic chair yet, Richard?
I think I've been on it 3 times at various events that Clive has been, and Julia has been on it more times and longer, and she's also been on the Heineken chair,
Yes.
which is the chair that reaches other parts of the body that no other chair can reach. And she swears by that. She says, it's good for the old libido and various other
Well, my
things.
dad went on it once, and he's constantly back and forward to the loo and what have you. I mean, he's super healthy, but he's constant. He's only went on it once, and he hasn't got up to go to the toilet during the night.
Well, that's great. That's good news. So I'm looking forward to getting on that, but I don't know how many chairs he's got of that version. So that he's always swamped at any event that he's been to, isn't he?
He is, yeah. We've got one down here in Totnes. Well, we've got one of each. So yeah, that's really good. So if you're ever, when you come to Devon, like, come and have an experience on both chairs. So what have you been up to? You've been doing talks, events, any more hassle from the police turning up? What's been going on?
No, it's all very boring, really. I mean, I'm carrying on with the interviews, which are fascinating and interesting. So they're not boring, of course, and they're all lovely people. I interviewed a bloke today, which will go out when we are recording this. It will go out in a couple of days. And he claims, it's fascinating this, he claims that he is the reincarnation of Percy Shelley. And so Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein in 18 something or other. And he was reading that, and he started to see some interesting synergies with himself. And then he read a book that she wrote later on called The Last Man, which apparently, I haven't read it, I've ordered it now though. Apparently, this book in 18, whatever it was about a pandemic that came from China and was airborne, and people were dying left, right, and center. Curious that. That 200 years ago, she was talking about. Now, of course, pandemics have been around the world and various things, so it may not be as coincidental as you think. But anyway, he said he read this other book, and there were more things that he thought, that's me, down to a T, absolutely. Even encoded, apparently, in Frankenstein was elements that he could, so he says, decoded to his date of birth and other significant events. Anyway. We had a lovely conversation about that. And the main point of it was that he thoroughly now believes in reincarnation. And he says, you know, they can't get to you. Whatever happens in this life, it doesn't really matter. They can chop your arms off, chop your legs off, chop your head off. They ca still can't get to you because, ha ha, you get born again. So I thought that was an interest. You know, so my people that my interviewees, are a huge cross-section of very peculiar and interesting, fascinating people from lawful stuff to obviously health stuff and food, and then to spiritual stuff. So I've been doing mainly that, really. And the other thing, of course, is I don't watch the television at all. And do you know, when Labour got in, when they got in on July the 5th, didn't they, after the 4th? Independence. I have not watched anything on YouTube or any. I do not know who's in the cabinet. I do not know anything that that idiot who's now the Prime Minister has said. People try and tell me something. I say, do you know, I'm not entering it into my head. I'm not letting it get into my space. I'm not worried about it. And I've been
Well,
having
I must
such.
admit, I haven't got a clue what's going on in this country. Not a clue. Exactly the same view. I haven't seen one interview with him. I haven't seen anything because obviously the States, we've always kind of focused on the way people were asking me is because what we see there, it's a domino effect that will have come to here.
Well, I do remember you saying before we recorded this a couple of days ago that we all had to stock up with food because the end of the world was coming, martial law was coming, and I'd been waiting
Well,
for
there's
it.
going to be, we've got a week until the election. And if you think the deep state are going to let that election go through, or it will go through and the fraud will be unbelievable and the military will have to go in. And, you know, obviously I'm born again Christian. I follow a lot of the prophets, Amanda Grace, Robin Bullock. And for years and years, they have been prophesying all of these times and so much is coming to pass. And yeah, the stock exchange will go. They will go. And there's going to have to be a period of dark, you know, 10 days of darkness. So we have to wait and see. But yeah, it's always worth getting stocked up, Richard.
Well, of
Always,
course.
always good to have. Make sure you've got water in. Make sure you've got, you know, a week or so supplies to get you by.
I've got 10 boiled eggs. Is that okay?
I think you need a bit more than that. Just go and get, you know, even if you've got to eat crap for those times, just get tins. every place you open in my kitchen, there's tins. Jack's just like, what? And they've just been stuck in those cupboards. And I've been changing them around, like oddly maybe used the odd one, but they're all right. All these sell-by dates are nonsense. So anywho, it's 1,000,000%. It's definitely time to stock up.
And a good place to do it, and only because they're nice people, is the Good Food Project.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've had Steve on many times, many, many times.
Yeah.
When he started with his Awaken Pages, and yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Get over there. There's actually a link on the page on my on libertytactics.co.uk. You can go and...
Yes. No, I have actually. I mean, I have stocked up with some tins and various things. I mean, obviously, it's a very sensible thing to do just anyway, because, you know, even if life was ordinary...
And get silver or gold.
Silver tins.
Yeah, no. But also, other, you know, invest in silver and gold as well if you can.
Yes.
Definitely. We have to wait and see, though, but it's a week away. He packed out Madison Square Gardens last night, which was unbelievable. I stayed up and watched it. It was incredible. So we have to wait and see what happens. And my son's just come in and said Tommy Robinson's been sentenced to 18 months, but I don't know too much about that. I'll have to go and check. So you're not, you don't do Twitter or anything, Richard, no?
No, I, you know, I did have a Twitter account. I mean, it's still there, but I don't post anything on it. I'm still not convinced that Twitter is a safe place. I mean, and anyway, I had an Instagram, I had a Facebook. You know, I went through the phases of all these things, and then before I started doing the talking and interviewing that I'm now currently doing, I just thought, God, I'm getting messages from all over the bloody place. It took a nightmare. So now I just concentrate on YouTube. There's the comments there that people can, but I barely get a chance to look at those. And the emails have just come in huge numbers. And I don't have time to go and check Twitter or post on Twitter. And in the end, do you know what? I'm beginning to realise that our lives are so stuck behind these bloody screens. And I think to myself, this is what they want. They want us to be in ghettos, whether that's in Telegram groups or in WhatsApp groups or on Twitter. And we're all sort of twitching and looking at this nervously. And actually, we're not living at all. And so that's why I just thought, you know, I'm not going to do that. I am going to get my guests and I'll have an opinions about life, the universe and everything. But I'm not following it. I'm not following this because I think that the that you've got the mainstream media and then you've got the dubious media, which is all over the internet. And how do you know any of it's true? And
you just,
and then you look at the thumbnails that people put up for their videos and they're all very worrying. They're all very negative. And I think, okay, I've got a vague idea what's going on, but I want to stay positive, upbeat and actually have a life. And so now I read about farming and I read old 1940s books and I have a laugh. I'm writing my own book, which is a sort of semi-serious comedy thing. And I've just unplugged a bit from all of this because why are we all following? Because I've heard these stories about, oh, it's this is going to collapse and that's going to collapse and the people from the rubber boats are coming down and any minute now this is happening. And it may all be true, but I'm fed up with every week going, oh, my God, you know, we're going to run.
I know exactly, yeah.
And I just think, why are we doing this to ourselves? And then there's the whole thing is, are we, and the truth, so-called freedom movement and all of this, are we all being manipulated anyway to keep us occupied, to keep the open-minded, the critical thinking people occupied with something? And I think, yeah, to not live your life and have fun. And so that's why I've unplugged from it, really.
Fair play.
And so I can't give you any news other than, well, I don't know what, other than what my guests are saying about. And I'm still enjoying interviewing, although I'm going to take a break from that as well. But I'm enjoying, you know, I like people and I like understanding what makes them tick and what they've done and the health stuff and all the good stuff. I'm just wanting to stay on the positive, much more on the sunny side up rather than the negative side of things. And, you know, and I think that I do think that we on this, you know, these are the truthers are sort of spiraling out of control in all the stuff, because in the end it's, oh my God, look at this. Oh my God, look at that. And it's like, hang on a minute. What are you doing? You're scaring us all again. For what? Didn't happen last week. Didn't happen the week before.
Well, this is it. I mean, all of these CBDCs, I believe that it's not going to happen.
No.
15-minute cities, they're not going to happen. It's not. People have got to get pushed to the precipice. I'm never going to get off this path. I've tried many times, but it always just comes back to this. And I just feel that, I don't do exactly much, but I just try and highlight what goes on with our children and try and encourage people to talk about it, because if we don't talk about it, we are complicit in it. And these are our kids, these are the future, and these people are doing terrible, dreadful things. And I'm never going to stop talking about it, ever, ever, ever. And
Well, I think
you've
there's a
got this
difference.
collapse now of Hollywood and all of these stars that children, parents are spending a fortune taking their kids to these concerts, and their kids are being brainwashed.
But
You're
how many people who are actually stopping taking their kids to these things or pulling their kids out of school as a result of the minuscule number of people who are actually talking about it?
Well, I know I have reached people, and when they've woken up, it's like, wow. A bit like what Kimberley and the mums in Wales are doing. The
Yeah.
amount of people that were pulling the amount of Welsh parents that were pulling they're pulling their kids out of school, and that wouldn't have happened without somebody like Kimberley and Public Child Protection Wales. That wouldn't have happened because people aren't being told what's going on in the schoolrooms. Christ, they wouldn't even let out the lesson plans to people.
No, I mean, it's
You know,
disgusting,
and
absolutely disgusting. And I agree, we've got
this
to
is
talk about it, but.
I'm never going to stop it. But I totally get where other people are. I totally get it. It's just I got on this path like 13 years ago, and I want to see this through. Even though I'm not doing much, I'm just, being there to try and give a voice if they, survivors, and just get the word out that this is happening to our kids. And if everybody stood up and started talking about it, it would have to stop. And we make sure that the people who are doing this to our children, especially within the peoples of power, and enough is enough. You're not doing this. This is our children. We've got to take that back.
And I
And
I
I
mean
think
I
now is, I don't know, I, there's I'm, the time is now. Well, I mean, it was years ago, but in this time, it's when everything's so. Oh, it's so, it's on the knife's edge at the moment. Everything, this rising communism, socialism, you've got Ukraine, and it's just now's the time we got to speak up, I think. But hey, that's just me. That's just me.
Yes, now I agree that people have got to talk up and point these things out, but I think at the same time, we should not be frightening people because that seems to be
Oh, blackpilling people is no good. No.
that's what they want. And
It is.
that's what they've got us doing.
Yes.
So,
Oh, can I tell you a little fact, right? And I never knew this. I watched an interview with Roseanne Barr the other day, and I can't remember the guy's name. He actually wrote The Matrix, and the two brothers, well, they've now done the whole gender swap. I think he won the court case that he was the one who actually wrote it. And he said, but do you know what they've done? It's so bad. The red pill was the one you don't want to take. That's adrenochrome. That sends you into the world of the adrenochrome world. So that matrix where everybody says, I'm going to red pill you, it wasn't a good thing. It was never originally wrote. The red pilling was, you didn't want that. That was the bad. So it was really interesting that they've flipped it around, and then you've got all of these people using this red pill, and it wasn't for that at all.
I've never seen The Matrix.
Haven't you? It's very
No,
good.
I mean mainly because now learning that all these bloody things are in the film, I don't want to see them. I
No.
don't want to be told A, how to think, B, so when you're talking about red pill, blue pill, black pill, whatever, to be honest, I have no idea what that means, and I'm quite
You've never
pleased.
heard but you being red-pilled. You've
Well,
never
I
heard
heard it,
that
but I
term.
don't really know what it means. And
Right,
now you're
okay.
telling me that there's a double meaning to it. It's just as well I don't know what it means.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't well, I don't have a television, so I can't see what's on. It's funny, people I say to people, how many when I'm doing the talks and people ask me to go to a talk, and I say, well, things like, how many people still have a television? And most of them say, no, we've got rid of our television. And I said, oh, okay. And then they'll come up and say, well, I do watch Netflix or I do watch this, and you go, oh my God, it's just as bad. You're watching all the messaging, all the subliminal. No, it's very important to
Oh,
know.
Netflix is just the depths of, ugh.
It's the th I
It's
mean,
vile. It's vile.
there was a time when we made our own entertainment. Communities got together, they sang around the piano, they went to the pub, they had conversations, they you know, they learned how to play musical instruments. They may have been crap at it all, but they had fun and they enjoyed it with local food and local beers and all of that.
Exactly.
And we have replaced everything by professional corporations to do all that. And so even then, Netflix is another one. It's a people and they go, oh, but I do enjoy it. It's like,
Oh,
oh,
no.
please, you know. So, you know, I'll watch the occasional video from 1960s on YouTube just to amuse myself. But that's not the, I mean, and of course there's messaging in it, and it's much easier to spot
Oh, absolutely.
than the stuff that they're what that you get now. And I mean, you know, it's easy to spot. I don't want to spot it. I don't want to be told that this is coming and this is the way it's going to be and all that. And I do believe that our reality is what we create and what we think about. And if we concentrate our thoughts on these things, we are more likely to manifest them things. So I don't know how that differs from being a born again Christian and what you believe. I don't know whether that's poles apart, but I always find it hard to understand that so-called benevolent God on the outside is allowing all this crap to
But
happen.
but men were given free will.
And so, but I wasn't.
And I think now's the time. There are so many things that are going on spiritually. I mean, I'm baby at this. Christine's like, she's incredible. She can answer all the questions. I mean, mine, I was completely down the path. I was off drinking plant medicines and Kundalini yoga and had tarot cards. And there is that much evil. And there I was, you know, we were hearing survivors of satanic ritual abuse, hearing stories, you know, seeing such horrific crimes. And it's like, I don't know, I feel it. Like we could, people admit that, you know, the elite are worshipping Satan. They're sacrificing children for Satan. But I'm accepting that they're Satan and I'm like rejecting Jesus. And then I picked up the Bible and I started reading and I started listening to a guy called Chuck Meisler. Old boy's passed away now, but he would do Bible studies, every single book in the Bible. And I just started listening to it. And it all is like, wow, what a book. I mean, I was at an all girls Catholic school and I, you know, RE used to come and the little nuns used to come in and it was just like thee, thou, though. You know, and it's like, yeah, it all kind of started clicking into place. Like, wow, you start on the path to truth and it kind of leads just to that one place.
What place?
So to Jesus, it just leads to Jesus. For me, anyway. And I think God's making his move right now. I really do. The American prophets, I mean, they are so on the ball. And then you can go back and see various things in the Bible that completely relate to now.
I do get a lot of people emailing me, and especially over the last year or so, and they would email me and say, oh, you know, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And then they would give me these quotes from the Bible, which sort of, you know, supposedly proved that they were right, bits from Revelations and various things, or, you know, something from Matthew or something. And I would just think, yeah, but that's easy enough to go and cherry pick the ones that fit your agenda. What's the point? We can all do that. I mean, I could go to Black Lord's Dictionary and pull out something that was to pick, you know, to cherry pick. And that's the thing. It just seems that people are often quoting bits of the Bible for to back them up in some way. Now, I don't know anything about the Bible, how it's been written and how it's been put together. I did interview a bloke called Christopher Sparks who reinterpreted, well, he retranslated it from the early Hebrew works, and it came out very different from the King James official Freemason version.
Well, there's, you know, there's the book, there's Dead Sea Scrolls that has the book of Isaiah in there completely as it is. when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls out there. There's stuff coming about the Shroud of Turin. I don't know. I feel it. Right. It's that's what faith is. I just know that I know that I know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I never had that before. I never had that. And I know, and I've had some bizarre, like unbelievable, like not maybe super little natural things. And Christine has been like on the phone and things have just like maybe synchronicity or what have you. And after prayer, things have been delivered just like from out of nowhere. There's been things. So I believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and we will be saved. That's what I believe. And that's where I am. I never thought I'd say, anyone who knew me like 6, 7 years ago wouldn't believe what I'm, you know, believe this. And they don't. I've lost a lot of friends. I've lost a lot of guests on the show.
I mean, the whole point of where we are is that we're open-minded and allow people to have their own thoughts. I mean, you know, surely if we've learned anything over the last few years is that we have got to allow people to have their own opinions on things and we can agree to disagree because there's so many things
that's
that
what
we
makes
agree
us
on.
Human. Exactly. We can like, it's crazy. And there's such a divide in this world now, especially over in the States right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they are literally just like nothing away from communism. They're a week away, you know, from, that's it, the Great Replacement. I mean, you should see it. It's just insanity. But yeah, we should all be able to agree to disagree and sit down, talk and still be friends and not then be abusing people across social media because they've got a different opinion. I completely agree.
I mean, it's madness, isn't it? It's madness when, especially on the people who seem to be enlightened in a whole load of things, and then they still find that these old tropes come out and they can't help themselves. And I'm sure I'm guilty of some of them as well. I mean, you know, because we're opening up the whatever it is, the chakras, the mind, and all these things, and some things do seem a bit hard to swallow. But that doesn't mean that anybody is any righter than the next person or wronger.
Yeah.
So, but
wow,
so, yes,
got heavy there, didn't we?
We did. The main part of that was that we're going to be saved, and that is the good news that we should
exactly.
all hang on to. That's what we
and
should
God's
hang
in
on to.
Control. That's what I think. God's in control. People have got to get to the precipice to realize what's going on. You can't just say to people, look, this what they've got to start feeling it. That's why, you know, the COVID people were starting, they saw, people could see it. Do you know what I mean? It got, you know, and this is where we are. And yeah.
You see, that's where I think that why I've kind of unplugged a bit is because when people do get to the precipice, we're there for them. There's no point ranting and raving at them now because they won't come to us. But when things get tough and they're going, what the hell do I do? We're all signposts. We've done the research. We've done it. Well, we've got enough knowledge.
Exactly.
And we can say, look, okay, you're not feeling great. Why don't you try some holistic medicine? Go and eat some nice herbal remedies or things. Go and visit Clive de Carle and have some supplements. Are you running out of magnesium or iodine or whatever? Sit on his chair. Or, you know, try the lawful remedy instead of following the legal thing, because that will keep you
exactly.
Captive. So I think that, you know, very much we're the signposts, but we don't need to sort of bark at them now until they're ready, because until people are ready and have their ears open to listen, they will not hear.
No. And then you can, when you go in too much, you put them off, they totally back off.
Well, my son has, you know, that's exactly
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, that's, my daughter went that, but she's now 23. She just got a first and a master's, by the way.
Oh, congratulations.
I know, I'm so proud. But she's starting to see it now. She got totally indoctrinated because it was just too much from such a young age.
Yes.
Well,
that's brilliant news.
It.
And it's the youngsters we need, don't we, to be
it is.
Awake. Because, you know, we're all, well, you're still young, but I'm... I'm teetering on the later years of life. Well, that's all right.
Thank you very much.
but the youngsters, the ones coming up, they're the ones, you know, that need to be very much aware of the nonsense and tread their own path and be unique. I was saying in my monologue this morning how, and I haven't checked the comments because I'm sure most people would have probably shouted me down, but I was saying, isn't it strange how in the past we all, in the past, people used to love to dress up and wear nice clothes and all that. And I walked out on Sunday down to the beach, just down on the tide, you know, because a lovely day, and saw the people out in the prom, the families. I just thought people just dress so sloppily. They all buy this cheap and cheerful stuff from China that's shapeless, baggy, thin as anything, doesn't hold anything. They don't seem to have any self-respect. They don't seem to want to present themselves in the best way, so that first...
Well, this is the collapsing and the decline of a country, isn't it?
Well, this is it. And I thought, why?
No-go areas of the country. You know, this is...
But the point I was trying to get to was that we've all become clones by dressing in the fashion that we're being told is okay. And you look at it and you go, it's just drab. And yet in the past, the Tudors, the Georgians, the Stuarts, you know, they all wore...
Yeah, but even down to the 50s and 60s,
absolutely, absolutely. And even the Victorian slums, you know, the kids may have been in rags, but they had these two-piece suits and jackets. They had a Sunday best of some description. They may not have had shoes or holes in their shoes. But the women were out there scrubbing their front step. And they try to make themselves this, but you know, they made the best of it. And I just feel that people don't, they're slummy, they're sloppy.
But you know, this is a lot to do with the immigration stuff as well. The amount of people we come in and the way, do you know what I mean? I'm not saying back in the day, but we're just got all these undocumented people coming in, and neighbourhoods now are an absolute mess. Yes, it's also due, you know, to society and that agenda.
Yes,
we have lost something. We've even lost something from the 80s and the 90s.
Yes, no, you know, I agree.
It's going to get worse because we've got people who have different ways of life, you know. And look, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats over in the States, where they've got these people from wherever coming in with completely different... Yeah.
Yes, no, but I agree that that's happening, but we can make a start. Again, it's about us setting the standard, isn't it? I dress reasonably. I mean, it's not expensive what I dress. I scour the charity shops. But I just, you know, when I was doing the Bald Explorer, I was interested in England, and I saw the uglification, the blanding, the onslaught of the corporations, the sort of one type of shop, you know, one type of coffee shop, one burger shop, and all this crap. And the quintessential English town and village was being raped and destroyed and replaced with these big plate glass, big signs, bland this. And then you see the housing estates that are going up, which again were very bland, mean windows, no gardens, nowhere to park, all identikit, looking like concentration camps and all of that. And I thought, well, what can you do? Well, individually, you can fight against it by dressing individually and saying, I'm not going to consent to your way of life. I'm going to be my individual. I shall strike out. And it's by doing that you inspire others. Oh, look at him. He's made an effort. I think I might make an effort. If we all just conform and dress in a sloppy, and I'm not using dresses and a as a, an example, but if we lower our standards to everybody else, we're just going down in one direction. But we look what happened to One Direction. One of them fell off the balcony. So we can make a difference, I think, by inspiring others, by leading by example and upping our game.
Yeah.
And it may only be a tiny thing, but the more people that do... I mean, that's what I was trying to say in the Bald Explorer. I'm English. I'm going to dress how I interpret Englishness. Everybody has a different version of it. The version I'm not going to do is the Primark, you know, cheap foods, that cheap clothes that had been made on a sweatshop in the Far East somewhere for £5. I'm going to source something of reasonable quality from a charity shop, which doesn't cost a huge amount, and present myself to the world to say, look, you can try and take away England and turn it into a trashy place, but you can't do it with me, mate.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that's, you know, you it's difficult to fight the fight, but we can, if the more of us make the effort, we can do it on an individual basis relatively easy. I mean, the other day I was down on the seafront, because I often go for a stroll down there and it's nice by the sea, and I saw this young woman. She must have been in her 30s, and she wore this beautiful dress. She looked striking, and it was I don't know whether you'd call it a cocktail dress or whatever, whatever. And she was just out with her family. Her husband was in sloppy jeans and some naff old T-shirt and their little son. But she was dressed up. It looked like she was going off somewhere special, but they were just taking a walk. And I watched people and they looked at her. Yes, she was very attractive, but they looked at her and I just thought, they're looking at her because she is different. Now, if everybody, like in the old films that you see in the 40s and 50s, were dressed up just in what then was casual clothes, that people wouldn't necessarily, you know, we wouldn't be descending into this nonsense that we are, because I think it's, you know, the sloppy clothes, sloppy living, sloppy food, sloppy everything else. It is a fight that we have to resist, and we can all do that.
Yeah, you're right. You're spot on.
I mean, people can say, oh, that bloody Vobes, you know, is so opinionated.
No, I think you're completely right. You're completely right.
Because people would...
I totally agree with you on this.
And it's a very simple thing to do. That's, you know, that's the essence of it. You know, people used to wear hats. You know, people wore hats for years and years and years. People wore hats and nobody, you know, the hats they wear now are all American baseball hats in England. You know, we used to have our own trilbies and women used to, you know, wear beautiful hats. And people used to dress up to go to the theatre and even the cinema used to dress up. And you're sitting in a darkened room, for God's sake, but you're still dressed up to go out. And to go out to meals, to restaurants. And then you see people coming in their slovenly clothes to a restaurant. Nobody's making an effort. The waiter looks better dressed than the clients coming in. And and you just think, why have we lost that sense of occasion, that sense of presenting ourselves to the world? Why have we just sort of gone back into this sort of caveman-like, Neanderthal, ug, sort of, you know, not standing up very straight, letting our stomachs hang? I mean, when you're overweight and you've been eating the supermarket food and it's all hanging out, and then you wear the skimpiest clothes that show off the bulges, and you think, have you no self-respect at all? And I'm not saying you shouldn't be fat or that you shouldn't eat these. Well, I'm saying.
I've put on loads of weight, and that's because it's more the laziness. That's.
But this is where
I used to swim every
to
day.
Lazy.
I'm a swimmer, and but the only reason, okay, unless they've got some medical disease, you shouldn't complain if you're fat, because you're fat is you're not doing enough exercising and you're eating too much. Those are the two reasons people are fat.
It's nothing to do with big bones.
Nonsense.
Say.
Exactly. You're eating too much and you don't exercise. Simples. That's it.
And often you're eating just the wrong foods, aren't you? I mean, people who eat bread and pasties and things like that, the body is just bloating out because you know what, it can't process this stuff. And it sounds like we're having a go at these people, and we're not, because the reason we're not having a go, I'm not having a go at these people, is they have been brainwashed big time by the TV, by the government, by even the NHS. They've been brainwashed into thinking things like margarine were supposed to be good for you and butter is bad. I know. And that meat is bad. They've been hoodwinked. And so they're eating all this stuff thinking, no, this is all right. And actually they're just eating, you know, seed oils and sunflower oil and all these things that are absolutely awful for you. People are eating them. And I don't blame them, because they have been hoodwinked.
Yeah, absolutely.
But once you know You know, where's the excuse then? Once you
When
know,
you know.
you shouldn't be eating those greasy burgers that are covered in the wrong kind of fat.
Exactly.
And we've just become lazy. And you know, and it is a fight. That's why I do a 14-mile round trip to the farm shop, and I have to go in the van. And Julia and I go there rather than nipping over the wall and going into the supermarket at the back.
Yeah.
And we do that once a week. And it's a lovely experience because it's a nice farm shop. The people in there are great. I've mentioned them on my show many times. They've sold out of the raw milk that they do because I've mentioned, I said, "Oh, blimey, you've mentioned raw milk again, haven't you?" And I said, "We've just sold out." I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I said, no, that's great. But they're very nice. They haven't given me a discount or anything, mind you. But they're very nice people. It's a lovely experience. And it's all personal service. And yes, it's a bit more expensive. That's very true. But I don't buy all the other pap that you buy. But we're so lied to. And it is that lazy thing. Oh, I can't be bothered. And when you think people in other countries walk 5 miles to get a jug full of water, you think we.
Absolutely, of course.
You know, we just,
Exactly.
and as you said before, it's when it hits us personally and we have 10 days of blackout and there's no food and you go,
Exactly.
"Oh, can't I get an Uber?" It's like, my God. And then
Exactly.
people seem so entitled.
Yeah.
So entitled.
I'm loving this, Richard.
I mean, I know it's a rant, but in the
I
end,
love it.
you just get
Richard's
to
rants.
Richard's rants. I mean, I know people hate me for
That's
it,
the
but.
title for the show.
Excellent. My son's girlfriend worked, well, they both work for the NHS and they've got horrific stories, but she worked in the
It's a cult, the
well,
NHS.
yeah, and they're stuck in it, poor people. But anyway, she worked in the department that was supposed to see people home after operations and things if they didn't have transport or no one could pick them up. And usually these are elderly people and they give them a care package, which contains 2 or 3 days of some basic foods, which probably isn't full of anything particularly nice, but at least they've got something to put when they get a cup of tea and a bit of milk and a, you know, nugget of cheese or something. Anyway, so most of these elderly people do. And then Sharifa, her name is, she said, "Oh, we had this one girl. She came in for some nonsense. She wasn't terribly ill. She came in and she sat in the reception waiting for us to supply transport home. And she was in her early 20s. And Sharifa said, 'Oh, can I help you?' You know, she said, 'Well, I want you to get me a taxi.' She said, 'Are you not able to afford a taxi?' 'No, I can't get a taxi.' He says, 'Okay, well, we can organize that.' She says, 'I noticed that these old people are getting these boxes of food when they go. I want one of those.' She said, 'Well, have you got any food at home?' 'Yes, but those people are getting special treatment and it's not fair. I'm entitled to have the same."
Oh.
And of course, Sharifa had to obey the rules, and the policy was, I suppose, if you were asked for it. And these people know, and you just think this is such a trashy way of living. This is so awful that you've now deprived another elderly person who's come down, who's, you know, paid into the system all their life, believed
Well, I mean, look,
their
we're
stuff.
getting undocumented people coming into the country while we've got our elderly people like not having enough food and everything else. And these people are like being given flats and apartments to live in, filled with gas and electric.
Yes, a nice
I
military
mean, that's
costume.
what, you know, that's this is a problem, you know.
Well, it is a huge problem. We've lost all sense of proportion and priority. You've got ex-army, you know, veterans on the streets and people from other countries who've either escaped or are part of some secret plan, in all the 4-star hotels.
It's insanity. It's oh, I'm not going to get
But
triggered. But
in some way, I do feel we've had to get to this point. At some way,
well, this is it. This is the great people will see enough is enough.
the consumerism and this constant upgrading, the constant raping of the earth to have more and more trinkets that is not the way to happiness that people think, and the keeping up with the Joneses and the amount of these corporations that are just so blind greedy for the shareholders and the board of directors. At some point, we've had to come to the point where enough is enough. And as you say, I think we're reaching it. And it will be tough for many, But at some point, we do have to get back to going, what is actually essential in life? What is happiness really? What is the purpose of us being it? Is it to gobble up the whole earth and just consume and consume and be nasty to everybody and take and take and take and give nothing back? Well, clearly, no, because it just implodes. So I think we've got to go through this, but those of us who can have a positive outlook, I think is, you know, and but still be open-minded and still just be aware on the edge of the nasty. But I just, like I said at the beginning, I don't want to take all this negative stuff because otherwise I'm just miserable.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be miserable. I haven't got huge amounts of time in this iteration of me. And the thing is, the world, despite all the nasty things going on and the elites and the Satanists and the Luciferians and all of the people, the world is such a beautiful place. You know, the nature Amen. Of the world is such a, and the human body and the human mind and our ability to laugh and dance and move and spend time with family and have joy and all this is such a beautiful, wonderful thing. That we do miss it if we concentrate on the bad all the time. And we have got to make time to break bread, good, honest, wholesome bread from proper organic, unmutilated wheats and barleys and rye, particularly, and break bread and have time with families and turn the screens off and get them round the table and laugh and joke and poke fun and praise and love and hold one another and go out into nature and look at the blossoming or the at the moment the autumn, the beautiful colors of the leaves, you know, that it's all that majesty that is there that nothing man can make can ever conquer, but we have made beautiful things, artworks and beautiful houses and think we don't do it now. Look at the stuff that the Tartarians were doing, those incredible churches and cathedrals.
Oh, fantastic.
And then you think, and we're being told that we made those 150, 200 years ago with donkeys and pulley systems. And then you look at these JCBs going in, putting up these 15-minute concentration camps, and you go, oh, yeah, we have the technology, do we? I don't think so. Yeah. So we do have to, I think we do have to separate ourselves from the negative and spend more time because the light vibrations of that laughter of those kids laughing instead of being in fear, pulled out of school, the last place, as we know, they should be joyous learning with parents and like-minded adults going on exciting adventures and enjoying the wonders of nature and the wonders of invention and creativity and writing their own stories and drawing their own pictures and you know, mucking about, pushing things over for a laugh. And everybody, you know, those vibrations that come from that is what's going to heal the world.
Yeah.
Not the fear and the terror.
Exactly. Amen, Richard. This has been brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on today. It's brilliant.
A
so, Richard Vobes on YouTube, and then there's the English couple on YouTube as well. RichardVobes.com.
Yeah, that's it. Website. Not much goes on there, but
it's there.
It's there. And if anybody wants to see me smoking my pipe, if you go to the Vobes show on YouTube, you can watch my meanderings with pipe and the wonders of pipe tobacco. It's a very cerebral thing.
Lovely one. Thank you.
Pleasure, as ever.
Thank you for joining me. Big love.
Big love too. And thank you, Lou, for giving me a chance to spout.
I loved it. It was great. It was great. And I completely agree with you.
No, oh, bless you.
God bless.
You're doing good work.
And you. God bless, Richard. Thank you.
Take care.
Take care. God bless. Wow. What a show. I totally agree. Also time to spend with God as well. Bit of quiet time. Turn everything off. And honestly, just pick up the Bible. It's the best book in the world. That's it. So as of tomorrow, 1 week away from probably the most important event in our generation, getting Trump back into the White House. I am going to be speaking every day to our American friends across the pond, starting tomorrow with the wonderful Dave Sumner from Stop Hate. So that'll be tomorrow, libertytactics.co.uk. We may do it live on Patreon, not sure yet. I haven't got a producer at the moment because Rick's so busy, but I'm going to see if we can broadcast on Patreon or somewhere live, and we're going to do a show every single night of the week from across the pond. So that's it. God bless. libertytactics.co.uk. If you'd like to buy us a coffee or you'll feel led to do so, we would very, very much appreciate it. That's it. Good night. God bless.